Me, our Father, in the name of Jesus, as we look into your word,
we behold Christ
as he sees us in him. We receive the revelation of Christ that is found in the written word. We decree and we declare that there's no error in this atmosphere. Clarity comes to our mind in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. So, this is the second day of the CRC. Hallelujah. Second day of the first service of the second day in the second CRC 2019. We'll have a third CRC. Hallelujah. We'll have a third CRC. That should be around November. Hallelujah. We're just walking in the light of prophecy. Glory to God. Around November we'll have a third CRC. I will still be discussing understanding authority. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. What did we look at yesterday? 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Right? We had a little short exhortation. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter number 2. We have a long distance to cover. A whole lot of things to cover. So we're going to be fast. 2 Timothy 2:14. He said, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about world to no profit. 2 Timothy 2:14. To the ruin of their hearers. Verse 15. He says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. Now we looked at that word othotomio yesterday. Right? We looked at the word to study or be diligent to mean what? Spodazo in the Greek, which implies one's effort, is the word that means to be earnest, to be eager. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you understand? It's the word that implies to be eager, to be earnest in doing something. It's the word that is used for labor. Hallelujah. There is a word used for labor. And we said, when it uses that word, spodazo, it shows one's involvement. So it's Jonathan wants involvement. And he uses another word to show thyself, study to show thyself approved. That word approved, we say, is the Greek word dokimos. And we say the approver is not to God, right? We saw that the approver is not to God. The approver is of God. Hallelujah. So that the approver is of God. To man word, right? Of God, and then we'll prove it in how we explain Bible truth. Hallelujah. We also looked at another word, ototomio, which, well, we call the name ototomio legos aletis. It's a word that means rightly dividing the word of truth, or aletia. And we said ototomio means a straight cut. And we said it's a word that is used by surgeons, right? In carrying out surgical operations. You know how they are careful. That in that word you have carefulness. Do you understand? You have carefulness. Carefulness is called into, and we said the child of God will be careful in how we present Bible truth, right? And we said it's this carefulness that Paul in chapter 3, verse 15, will now call Timothy clever because of the way he does what he presents Bible truth. In chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, verse 15, he will say, and from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. He says, you are able to know, or he said, you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Meaning, we said that when it talks about the word scriptures, it refers to the Old Testament writings, right? Refers to the Old Testament writings, because as at that point, there was nothing like four Gospels. There was nothing like Book of Acts, Romans, and all those things. So what they took to the sanctuary or to the tabernacle or to church meetings was going to be what? The Torah, the Old Testament is what they had, right? The Greek version of the Old Testament. The same we have the English version of the Bible today. Hallelujah. So that's what they would have with them. So Paul will now tell Timothy he's wise for in the way he presents Bible truth. Because in chapter 2, he just told him that he should be careful in handling Bible truth. And we said some things yesterday. We said Bible truth should be handled with carefulness, right? And it should be handled truthfully. Should be handled truthfully. Bible truth. You should not be careless about how you use words. So in the way Timothy will use word, Paul will now call him wise. That word wise is the word sophizo, which implies to be clever, to be intelligent. How? He says because you understand salvation from the scriptures. Hallelujah. You understand how to present Bible truth. What did he say? He said, which are able to make them wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Meaning, when Timothy gets to the scriptures, he will see salvation from the scriptures. Did you see that? Hallelujah. And we said he will not read things. He will not read events as events. We said something yesterday. We said God will only inspire God's work, right? And God's work is salvation. So if he gets to the scripture, he will not see drama. He will not see Abraham on Mount Moriah doing Eliah. He will not see that. Do you understand me? He will not see that. He will see salvation in what Abraham is doing. We're going to look at that during understanding the gospel. A look into the gospel, how it is preached in the Old Testament. So we're going to look at Moses. I said it right. But we're looking at Moses. How Moses preached the gospel. Moses. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is looking down. What happened? Looking low. Hallelujah. What happened? Looking a bit low. Okay. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So he's going to see salvation on Mount Moriah. If he looks at Isaac and Esau, he will not see a storyline of a swindler Jacob. He will not see the story of a swindler in Jacob. Rather, he will see salvation first before he sees the history. Do you understand me? He will see salvation. He will look at Isaac and Ishmael, Jacob and Esau in the light of salvation first. If he sees David, he will not see David in a fight with other nations, the Amalekites, the Moabites. He will not see those fights as a fight. He will see salvation in the fight. Hallelujah. You know you can see salvation in the fight. Hallelujah. So he will not see things outside the way it ought to be seen, because in verse 16 he said all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Meaning, what the scripture will talk about will be God's word. Do you understand me? It will be directed towards God's work. Do you understand that? It will be God's word. God's word. W-A-R-D. It will be God's word. Do you understand? So you will not find secret to quantum business wealth in the scriptures. You wouldn't see it there. If you got it there, then you are reading amiss. Because what you will find in the scriptures will be Christ and Him alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we said all of that yesterday. Why? Okay. So let's move up a bit. So we said a disciple or the disciple of Christ. Okay. We also looked at another word. Sorry. We looked at the word idol. It says you have known the Holy Scriptures. Right? From verse 15. He says, and from childhood, breakfast, you've known the Holy Spirit. That word you've known is the Greek word idol. Idol knowledge is a scientific, let me put it in the grassroots way. It's a scientific knowledge. It's an acquired knowledge. Knowledge that is acquired. Do you understand me? It's always used for one's ability to recollect facts and ideas. Do you understand me? To recollect facts and ideas. So when he's using the word "you have known the Holy Scripture," it means Timothy was taught. And we saw yesterday in verses 10 of chapter 3, it says, "You have carefully followed my doctrine." Do you understand me? My doctrine, meaning Timothy was taught by Paul. In chapter 2, verse 2, it said, "The things you've learnt from me among many witnesses," it said, "the same commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Meaning Timothy learnt from Paul. So, listen, meaning the way Timothy learnt to interpret scriptures will be from Paul. Do you understand me? The way Timothy learned to view scripture will be from Paul. So in Matthew 28, let's go to Matthew 28. In Matthew 28, verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." He said, "Go therefore and make disciples." That word "disciples" is the word matitis. Make disciples of every nation. He said, "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." He said, "Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now that word "to make disciples" is the word that implies to train people, to raise scholars. The way you enroll somebody into a school is the way he says disciples should be raised. It's the word matitis. It's the word used for how scholars are raised. How do they call these guys? How professors are raised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's from the word metano. Metano is a word that is used for one who learns, one who is given to learning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when he says go and raise disciples, meaning part of what the disciples will learn, which you are going to see now, will be how scriptures are interpreted. Do you understand me? Disciple. Remember we just saw Timothy, right? Just saw Timothy. Timothy learned how scriptures are interpreted from Paul. Now, part of what the disciple will learn is how to interpret scripture. That is, how to view scriptures. How to explain scriptures. Look at verse 20. Jesus tells us how this will be done. He said, teaching them. Meaning, the disciples will be taught. Disciples are raised via teaching. Do you understand me? And this is why teaching is the primary meeting. The teaching meeting is the primary meeting of the believers. When believers come together, we come together to be taught. We don't come together to do Thanksgiving, bazaar, harvest. Those things are bizarre. Yes, now, in the church. Bizarre. See, some people go to church when it's only harvest time, bazaar time. Going, gone. They only go to church during Thanksgiving. Now, some people stroll into church when they are done preaching. To come and do Thanksgiving. I just started doing child education. And you are coming to church to come and dance. How was the service? You've forgotten all when all the message is gone. All you could remember is how you dance. Men needed to see me today. I put on my dancing shoes. We're going to look at that. This is hallelujah. I was on my dancing shoes. No, the church is not a place for dancing. In fact, the kind of dancing we are instructed to dance is agalio. In the church, we're not taught to go down and dance. No. We're not taught that. We are taught to agalio. That is the dance of the spirit. Hallelujah. That's what we're taught to do. So when you hear a believer go, "Woo!" I say, "What's happening?" "I'm dancing and rejoicing. Glory to God." Not "Shira baba ba ba." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You could do that in the parties. You could do that in the wedding. You could do that in the but not in the church. In the church, we are taught Christ's way. Where did you ever see that Christ danced?
and dance and komole. Who did you ever see that Christ danced that way? But we're told that he just, you know, was talking to his disciples and just, woo! And he rejoiced. Glory to God. That is what the believer should emulate. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible says when he was taken out of their sight, not necessarily from their sight, but when he was taken out of their sight, they rejoiced into Jerusalem. You didn't hear they danced and come on. No. They rejoiced. Hallelujah. So we learn from Christ, or we learn from the scripture, Christ's way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he said, teaching them. Hallelujah. He said, teaching them to observe. Meaning, what you learn in the church, or the primary way believers are raised, is via teaching. Do you understand me? Now, he doesn't say teaching them to observe all what I have commanded you. Take note of that word. Part of what he has commanded them is what? To stay with how he explains. We will get to see that shortly from Matthew. Hallelujah. We will see that shortly as we look at one or two things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, part of what he told them is, beware of the living of the Pharisees. When he uses the word the living of the Pharisees, he was not referring to bread. He was referring to what their mode of teaching. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. So part of what a believer should learn is how to interpret scriptures. That word teaching in verse 20 is from the Greek word didasko. It's from the Greek word didasko. Now, didasko implies the act of instructing. Is a verb. Is the act of instructing. That's the word didasko. To instruct. The act of explaining. So meaning what Jesus is telling them is to teach, right? The act of explaining. It is from a word. Take note of this. It's from another word. That word didasko is from another word, didache. Didasko is from didache. Didache is the word that implies the mode of explanation. How what is explained is explained. Do you understand me? How what is explained is being explained. So, it's very important. There is a way scriptures ought to be explained. So, when Jesus told them, teaching them, part of what they would have as teaching them would be how, right? The mode of explanation. Meaning the teaching will carry Jesus' mode of explanation. Glory to God. The how. So the way the scriptures are explained is called didache. Okay. Glory to God. We'll find Jesus explained scriptures the same way. In this form, we're going to look at it now. Look at Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 28. Jesus began to teach, and in chapter 7, verse 28, when he was done teaching, look at what happened. Verse 28. And it was so when Jesus has ended his saying that the people were astonished at his teaching. That word teaching there is the word didache. People were what? Were astonished at his teaching. Meaning Jesus taught differently from the way the Pharisees taught. When you use the word teaching there, is the word that means the mode of how he explained. Meaning the way he explained scriptures was what made them to be astonished. How will Jesus explain scriptures? Hallelujah. How will Jesus explain scriptures? Luke 24. How will Jesus explain scriptures? Luke 24. 24. Let's start from verse 25.
Because of time.
He says, and he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. He said, ought not the Christ to suffer this thing and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The things concerning himself. Look at verse 44. He says, and he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled within in the law of Moses and in the law of, and in the prophet and in the Psalms concerning me. So how would Jesus explain the scriptures? Look at that verse 27. As concerning himself. Did you see that? Jesus will explain the scripture as concerning. How did he do it? He said, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. When he said beginning at Moses, it means what? Starting from Moses. Where is Moses? Genesis. So meaning Jesus will explain from Genesis to Malachi concerning himself. He will go through. So he uses the word diamenio for expand. He expanded onto them. That's the word diamenio. D-I-A or D-I-E M-E-N-E-U-O. Diamenio. Is the word, is from two words, or is a compound word from dia and hermeneo. The word dia implies to go through or to cut through. Dia. Hermeneo means to explain what is written or spoken, that is to interpret. And to interpret. Dia means to cut through. Hermeneo means to interpret, to explain what is written. So meaning Jesus will go through Genesis down to Malachi and he will explain through the scriptures. He will cut across all the scriptures and he will explain all the scriptures as concerning himself. How many days did he do this? 40 days. After Acts chapter 1 verse 3. He did that for 40 days. Hallelujah. For 40 days, he taught them through the scriptures. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when he says beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Jesus went through explained concerning himself. Now this word, this Jesus going through it, we said it last week, or that was last week, that it will be the fulfillment of Matthew chapter 5 verse 17. Hallelujah. Matthew 5 17. Let's look at Matthew 5 17 quickly. Go back to Matthew 5:17. Jesus said the word. Remember we just read, he went through the scriptures and explained it, right? From Moses, the prophet, and the Psalms concerning himself. Look at verse 17. Say, do not think I have come to destroy the law or the prophet. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. That word fulfill is the word plero. It's the word that means to complete, that is to bring to conclusion. Do you understand? Plero, fulfill, the word plero, P-L-E-R-O-O, plero. It means to complete or to bring to conclusion. That is to say, what did Jesus do? He explained it in as concerning himself. Hallelujah. So what, Jesus didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets, right? Right? But to do what? To explain it. Hallelujah. So the law and prophet is not Ten Commandments. The law and prophet is the Old Testament book. What we call the Old Testament book. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Let's go back to Matthew, to that Luke 24 again. So, he says, look at that verse 25. O fools, slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Say, ought not the Christ to suffer these things and enter into his glory. Look at verse. Ought not Christ to suffer these things and enter into his glory. Now, take note of that word. And verse 27 now says, begin at Moses and all the prophets, they expanded unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Now, it shows you that the summary of the scriptures is what? Christ suffering. Right? That is the sum of all the prophets spoke about. Take note of that because we are going there. the summary of all the prophets spoke about, he said, ought not the Christ to suffer these things, which is what his death, his burial, and enter into his glory will be his resurrection. Hallelujah. Which to this church is his ascension into our heart. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the scripture should be interpreted and explained this way. Right? Should be interpreted and explained this way. Look at verse 44. It says, and he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophet and in the Psalms concerning me. He says, while I was still with you, I told you these things. Right? That shows you that the words of Jesus, listen, the words of Jesus, meaning his teachings, his parables, is centered on his works. What is his works? His death, burial, and ascension into heart, and what he, or just say, centered on his works. What is his work? Salvation. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he said, the teaching of Christ, his parables, are centered on his works. And this is how scriptures should be interpreted. This is the didache. Did you get that? This is the didache of scriptures. Now you know what didache means now, the mode of explanation, right? So this is the mode of explanation of scriptures, centered on Christ. So when you stand and hear somebody teaching something else, it's not the gospel of Christ. Even if he mentions Jesus, it's not making the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it's centered on Christ. Look, John 5, quickly. John 5. We're still on yesterday's message. John 5. Verse 39. It says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. What did Jesus just say? The scriptures testify of him. The scriptures testify of him. Verse 45. Okay, verse 46. For if you believe Moses, you will believe me, for he wrote about me. Who did Moses write about? Christ. Meaning in Moses' writing, when I look at Moses' writing, I would not see anything outside Christ. If I see anything outside Christ, I am seeing like those with him. We're going to see who Moses' crowd is very soon. Meaning I'm seeing like a man who does not believe. I must see Moses' writings as concerning Christ, because that was what Jesus said. He wrote about me. So Moses' writing is what salvation conscious. Let me use that. Or is Christ centered? Do you understand me? Is Christ centered? Moses' writing is Christ centered. Glory to God. Moses did not write outside Christ. Is Christ centered? Hallelujah. It's on the scriptures. So Moses wrote concerning Christ. Look at Romans 1. Romans 1. From verse 2. Okay, from verse 1. He said, Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised. Which God promised. Before. When he said before, it refers to the Old Testament. In Genesis to Malachi, right? The Old Testament section, or the Old Testament. Let's leave it like at that for today. Till we get there. Okay. Which he promised before through his prophet and in the Holy Scriptures. Verse 3. What did he promise through the prophet in the Scriptures? You know, the Scripture means Genesis to Malachi, right? Now, in the Scriptures. Concerning what? His Son. Meaning, if I look at the Scriptures, Genesis to Malachi, I will see prophecies concerning his Son, Christ Jesus. Did you see that? So, very important. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. Hallelujah. Did you see that? Now, we've seen three scriptures that spoke about the fact that the Old Testament writings, Genesis to Malachi, was about Christ. Right? We've seen four. Right? So, we can move ahead. We can, how should I put it? Establish that fact. Right? We said that now, the mouth of two or three witnesses. I've showed you two. I've showed you three. Which one do you want me to show you again? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God who at various times. Hebrews 1, 1. Which will show you all and all. Show you even from, okay, John 1. No? I had a friend on WhatsApp, and he just took a scripture and just gave it one funny meaning. He had it from the pastor actually and just wrote it. And then said, this grace shall locate me in this month. I will receive plenty money. I said, you just misinterpreted this scripture. He said that. I heard it from Pastor so-and-so, and so I say I know. Because before you listen to the message, I've listened to it years back. You are just seeing cliches and you are happy. You understand? So I've heard it later. He now replied me. He said, are you trying to say that we cannot have personal, or I cannot personalize the word of God again? I can personalize the word of God. I said, no, you cannot personalize the word of God. Not personal. It is God's word. It must be interpreted as such. So you read pretext and posttext to understand what he's talking about. I say, I've read it, but I just want to personalize it. I said, you cannot use it for your own private. He said, I have got the scripture of your private interpretation. He said, how do I mean? First of all, I showed that everything that we just saw now. I said, I can see personalized now. No way you said it has personal. Now open Peter. So no prophecy of the scripture is of personal interpretation. You know what the person is around to? Are you trying to say Pastor so and so is wrong? I say you just said with your mouth. I didn't say nothing. I only explained scriptures to you. Do you understand? Aha. No prophecy of the scripture is of private interpretation. So let me use it for my money, for my finances. What is meant for salvation is for your finances. Is your finances salvation? I'll share with somebody that Jesus never equated even Satan to serving the Lord. You know what he equated to serving the Lord? Do you know? Money. Cannot serve God and mammon. And that's what a lot of people are doing. Now carry the word. Imagine you are interpreting scripture in the light of our salvation, for in the light of your money. Do you understand? My finances. So funny. Okay, let's continue. Hebrews 1 asks us to open, right? Verse 1. He said, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophet, and in these last days spoken to us in his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all these things. When he said heir of all these things, he didn't say heir of the whole earth. No, he said all these things. When you see the word all things, you must read it in that context. And in that context, what he's talking about is heir of all the words of the prophets. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is the heir of the words of the prophets. So Jesus is the fulfillment of the words of the prophets. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So very important. So this is how Jesus will explain scriptures. This is how we explain scripture, and this is how the believer should explain scriptures. Look at Matthew 22. This is how he explains it concerning himself, and because that is what the scriptures testify about concerning Christ. So Jesus, for you to call Jesus the Christ, he must explain scriptures concerning the Christ. He was the Christ-centered. You understand? Aha. Glory to God. But the Christ-centered. Matthew 22 verse 33. Quickly. Verse 33. He says, and the multitude heard this, and they were astonished at his teaching. That word teaching there too is the word didache, his mode of explanation. Then in chapter 6, verse 12, chapter 16, verse 6, he warns them. And Jesus said to them, take heed And beware of the living of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Beware of the living of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Verse 12. And they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the living of bread. Now this verse 12 didn't happen when Jesus was with them. They understood this verse 12 after his resurrection. After he had explained to them for 40 days. Do you understand? So, look at that verse 12. And they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the living of the bread, but of the doctrine, the didache, the mode of explanation of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Meaning there is a, their mode of explanation was not Christ-centered. They will read the events, right? And explain the events. Hallelujah. They will go into endless genealogies. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Do you understand me? But they will not explain it in the light of salvation. That's why in chapter 5 of John, verse 39, he said, you search the scripture. Jesus knew, or Jesus commanded the Father, they search scriptures. He said, you search the scriptures. You see, in them you think you have eternal life, but the scriptures testify of me. Do you understand? But you are not willing to come to its conclusion concerning me. Do you understand me? Meaning, they are looking for eternal life. Right? But eternal life, the scripture will point them to Christ as eternal life, but they are not willing to come to that truth. So meaning their explanation will be devoid of what? Salvation. Do you understand me? Don't they know there will be salvation? But their explanation of the writings will be for their belly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So in Act of Apostles. Now this warning, listen though, this warning in chapter 16 we just read will now be that the apostles will explain scriptures in with Christ's explanation, not with the explanation of what? The Pharisees. Do you understand me? Because the Pharisees are custodian of the Torah. They are the custodian, the ones who are, in fact, they are the custodian of the Torah, of the scriptures. For you to be a Pharisee, it's just like you go to Bible school. You will go and learn Torah. You will know the Torah by heart. Do you understand me? So you will be grounded in the Torah, in the scriptures. So they are the ones who do the interpretation, right? But it says, beware of their explanation. Do you understand? Beware of their explanation. Very important. Meaning there's a way scripture should be explained, and that is what he did. And that's what the disciples to the apostles to we do. In chapter 2 of Acts, we saw that yesterday, verse 42. The new guys or the new brethren that were added to the church, what did they learn first? The way scriptures are explained. Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. They continue steadfastly, continuously, in the apostles' doctrine. That word doctrine is the word didache, in the apostles' mode of explanation. Meaning the apostles, listen, or the disciples learned first how scriptures are explained. Hallelujah. We walked in that light. Glory to God. Let's take some things down. So we've heard that, I've said it that, first of all, that we, or the disciple of Christ, will explain scriptures the Christ way, right? In the mode of Christ's explanation. And you know, Paul gave Timothy that charge. Just get this down. Second Timothy 4 verse 2, he told Timothy to teach in the same way. In Titus 1:9, it was part of the qualification of what? Of a bishop. Titus 1:9. We'll look at that shortly. Now let's take some things down. Jesus taught the Old Testament around himself. Or let's put it like this. Jesus reworks the Old Testament around himself. Because we're going to look at that shortly. The disciples learned from Jesus and taught similarly. The disciples learnt from Jesus and they thought similarly. In Acts of Apostles chapter 2, chapter 3, Peter taught Christ. In chapter 2, when they had the Holy Ghost meeting, Peter explained it from the scriptures and explained Christ. Right? We saw that during understanding the gospel. In chapter 3, the same thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Very important. So, if you go back to that 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, where he said, study to show thyself approved, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. Now, we say that rightly dividing the word of truth shows carefulness, right? Ototomio shows carefulness. So, our carefulness in presenting scriptural truth will also be seen in our mode of explaining scriptural truth. Our carefulness in presenting biblical truth will be seen in our mode of explanation, or in our mode of explaining scriptures. So, in explaining biblical truth, you must stick to biblical explanation. Yes, I mean, shall we look at what is our role in biblical explanation? How do we explain scriptures? We'll see that now. You understand? We must stick to biblical explanation. You must be careful of how you use words in the Old Testament. But be careful of how you use words in the Old Testament. So, let's see what Paul will call the Old Testament. Paul will call the Old Testament mysteries. Matthew 16. That's in Matthew 16, Romans 16. Verse 25. Paul will call it mysteries. Now, to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. He calls the Old Testament secret. Say, but now it is made manifest. And by the prophetic scripture made known. According to the commandment of the everlasting God, to the obedience of the faith. To God, only wise, be glory through Jesus forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Very important. He calls the Old Testament writing mysteries. You find out also in Ephesians 3, verse 3. Ephesians 3, 3. He says, I'll start from verse 2. If indeed you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I've written already. So he calls the Old Testament writing mysteries. What is the word mysteries? It's from the Greek word musterion. M-U-S-T-E-R-I-O-N. M-U-S-T-E-R-I-O-N. Musterion. In the Greek. It's the word that means, or it's the word that implies something that is hid or kept secret. From its root word, it implies to give explanation. So, it means something that is kept secret that needs explanation or that needs to be explained for proper understanding. So, mysterion is something that needs to be explained. Hidden, yes. Kept secret, yes. But needs explanation. So, next question will now be, what was hidden? Is it the scriptures that was hidden? You understand? We'll see what the Old Testament writings is, right? Now, what was hidden? Is it scriptures that was hidden? Let's see if it was scriptures that was hidden. First of all, you must understand the fact that the word to hide alone in itself is, if you look at that root word, it's where you have the same root word for darkness. And God is not associated with darkness. So automatically, you cannot place to hide something with God. Do you understand me? You cannot place it with God. In fact, James shows us, number one, that God is not involved with anything evil. Do you understand me? James shows us. Hallelujah. So if it is not the scriptures that is hidden, then what was hidden? Because if the scriptures was hidden, then nobody would have believed in the scriptures in the Old Testament, or would have believed the message of the prophet in the Old Testament. Or have people that believed. Right? Joshua believed. Caleb believed. We saw that, right? We saw that Abraham believed. Abel believed. Enoch believed. Right? Right? Jacob believed. Isaac did. So if they can believe, it shows you that the message was clear. So the hiding cannot be the scriptures. The hiding cannot be the message. Do you understand me? He said God spoke. If you read Galatians, he said God, seeing that the hidden will be justified through faith, I mean justified by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham. Do you understand? So if it is the gospel that is preached, then that means it is not hidden, because several people believed. Do you understand that? So the scripture is not hidden. Then what is hidden? Luke 24. Let's see what is hidden. Luke 24. Luke 24. Are you there? Verse 44. And he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things will be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophet and in the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scripture. Let's look at that word opened. That word opened is from the Greek word dianogio.
Honorable, written several Greek words. You have many more to write. Many more. Hallelujah.
Is on the Greek word dianogio. D-I-A-N-O-G-I-G-O. Dianogio. Is a word that is used for what is previously closed. Something that is previously closed that is now open. Right? This is something that is previously closed. You find that word used in Mark 7:34-35, Luke 2:23, Acts 16:14-17:3. Mark 7:34-35, Luke 2:23, Acts 16:14-17:3. So it's used for what was closed, right? Now he uses something there. He says, and he opened, right, their understanding. The first understanding there is the word N-O-U-S, nous. It's a word used for the way one thinks, one's mind. Nous, N-O-U-S. Used for the way one thinks, one's mind, one's intellect. So when he said he opened their intellect, what does that tell you? It shows you it's not God that did the hiding, right? God doesn't do the hiding. God didn't do the hiding. God is not the one hiding the scriptures. But the human mind of unbelief hides the scriptures. The human mind of unbelief. Matthew 19 tells us the set of people that they are. The human mind hides the scriptures. The human mind hides the scriptures. Matthew 19, verse 8. Jesus said to them, Moses, because of the hardness, that word hardness, we're going to see it now. Hardness of your heart. That is the word sclerocardia. S-K-L-E-R-O-D-I-A. Sclerocardia. I take it again. S-K-L-E-R-O-K-A-D-I-A. Sclerocardia. Hardness of heart. Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, permitted you to divorce your wife, but from the beginning it was not so. Hardness of the heart. You'll find that word hardness in Hebrews chapter 4. Quickly, let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews Let's look at chapter 3 first. I'll read verse 8. He says, do not harden your heart. Sclerocardia. Do not harden your heart as in rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness. That was in the Old Testament. He's telling you those guys that were with Moses. Right? Verse 15. Say, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. Do you understand that? It's as in the rebellion. Look at verse 19. As in the rebellion will refer to those guys in Moses, with Moses, right? Now, look at verse 19. For so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So that rebellion is what? Unbelief. That sclerocardia is unbelief. So unbelief hides the scriptures. So it's not God. God doesn't hide. Man does in his unbelief. Man hides the scripture in his unbelief. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go back to that Ephesians chapter 3 and Romans 16, verse 25. If you look at those scriptures closely, when Paul mentions mysteries, mysterion, he always mentions something around it. Even in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you'll find something mentioned around it, which is what? Revelation, right? To reveal, right? Look at it closely. Bible student, go through it and you see it, right? That word to reveal is the word apocalypsis. 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 It is from two words, a alpha, alpha which is a, right? Alpha, negative, and another word, calypsis, which means to cover. It's from two words. It's a compound word, alpha calypsis. Calypsis means to cover. Alpha is negative. So what does it mean? What is the that negative in front of to cover changes the meaning of that word, right? So it means to uncover. Do you understand? To uncover. So that means to reveal, to uncover. That means the epistles are the revelation of the Old Testament scriptures. The epistles are the revelation of the Old Testament scriptures.